Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 5:05. You are listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Catherine Holmes, Catherine Taken, and Eleanor Schumann. How are you?
Very well.
Nice to see you all. If you're listening at home and you'd like to get involved, you are more than welcome to.
Please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
So I thought it'd be interesting to have a little chat about Glastonbury, but none of you saw it. Diana Ross in particular, she got quite a lot of slack and criticism. People saying, oh dear, Diana Ross is hitting a few bum notes, isn't she? Another one tweeted, Diana Ross should have packed it in years ago. Her voice is long gone. Someone else, her voice is not only gone, it's completely out of tune. Embarrassingly bad. But then people on the other side of the coin saying how anyone can hate on Diana Ross is beyond me. She's 78 and the epitome of a legend, more than worthy of her slot at Glastonbury. So I know you didn't see it, but do you have an opinion on whether a singer of a certain age, if they're, we shouldn't have to, anything to do with age, but if they've kind of not as good as they used to be, whether someone around them should kind of tell them so, whether they should understand and admit that they're not and stop singing and performing and charging people to go and watch them, or if people should be oh so privileged to go and see the likes of Diana Ross at whatever age and state her voice is in and be proud and privileged to be watching Diana Ross because she is a legend.
Second one.
Do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw Rod Stewart on the Jubilee thing, I thought he'd lost the plot as well, but it's still Rod Stewart. But his voice wasn't, I thought his voice was awful. But
okay. So if you paid a decent amount of money for tickets, you wouldn't think that was a waste of money. You'd think, well, it's Diana Ross.
True, I guess. Could you not get a little help from the what's the
auto-tune and stuff?
Or she didn't.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, bless her, she wasn't even singing because the crowd, I mean, the crowd sounded brilliant. You know, they're all well-known songs. So a lot of the time she was, you know, standing there and the crowd were singing.
But you obviously saw it. So what did you think?
I did see bits of it. Some bits were okay. I thought Chain Reaction was particularly bad, as in like really, really out of tune. I was undecided. If you're going to Glastonbury, it's a festival. So you're paying for a ticket to see loads of different people. But if I paid a lot of money just to go and see her, I would have been disappointed.
I think you're always going to get the fans that no matter how they sound, are going to appreciate the fact that she's there and she's doing it. I saw Tom Jones last year and I think he was 80 and he was really good. His voice is not as strong as it used to be, but he was in tune and he didn't move as much, but I was like, now I've ticked that box, I've seen him.
Exactly.
I think if she's doing it just to make money and
I went to see the Jacksons a few years ago when they were here, and that was a kind of weird experience because it was so exciting because it was the Jacksons. It was weird because when you're used to hearing the Jacksons or the Jacksons 5, it was their hits when they were like kids. So their voices, obviously, understandably, are completely different. When they had most of their hits, their voices hadn't broken for a lot of them. Yeah. So suddenly they've got deep voices. So it was strange to hear.
And there was Michael as well.
Exactly, no Michael. But it was amazing because it was the Jacksons and it was hit after hit after hit and you're singing and dancing along. So it was
They're not quite as old as Diana,
are they? Nowhere near, no.
Maybe on reflection she'll take a look at her performance and maybe make her decision herself and say maybe it's time to put my coat up and do something different.
But she's still coming here, isn't she, to Starlight?
Yeah. So she'll finish her series and see what happens.
The tickets are 100 and starting at 120 odd, I think, yeah. It's difficult. It's so difficult. I'm not like one way or the other. Really kind of...
I think it would be disappointing if you'd seen them at their height and then they're not quite as good anymore.
Yeah.
So I would rather remember them as being like top
of
the game.
Exactly. Yeah. But I also get how hard it must be when you've had such a huge career in the spotlight and you obviously want to still perform, to just go, nah, obviously I can't. I get how heartbreaking that must be for some people. Some people might be happy to stop, but for others they might be desperate to keep going. So I get that it's not an easy kind of, oh, you should just stop, love, you know, how some people are saying it's, that's cruel, really. Okay, well, we're all nice and understanding. Marmite, there was a big double page article on Marmite. Love it or hate it?
Hate. Absolute love it.
Okay, we've got two lovers and two haters. So have you always hated it, you two?
Yes.
It is a real kind of Marmite thing, isn't it? You love it or you hate it. I won't harp on too much about this then, because you'll think all of this is disgusting, being haters. But have you ever had Marmite in anything else? Like different flavoured Marmite, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I used to have... I used to mash up a banana and put that on top of a piece of bread with Marmite, and I used to eat Marmite and banana.
Marmite
absolutely
and banana.
Loved it.
Okay,
they do peanut butter with Marmite flavour, don't they?
Yeah, that's quite nice. How about, there's some recipes hit Marmite ice cream.
No. That's just wrong.
It does sound kind of wrong.
I don't know, it might be worth a try. Twiglets, you see, Twiglets are quite Marmitey, aren't they? That's a bit of a novelty too.
But so it's the whole idea, it's the kind of sweet and salt, savory, isn't it, that goes well together, like chocolate with salt in it.
Or I remember caramel when I first,
exactly, when I first saw that, I thought that sounds disgusting, but it actually works really well. So Marmite and ice cream, that's something to try. Coffee ice cream with Marmite syrup. I'm not sure about that.
Not a fan of coffee, so that's...
Okay, well, that wouldn't work. Yeah. I love the sound. This is something that would be very easy to try at home. Marmite mash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mashed potatoes. Willing to give that a go.
Oh, well, someone that doesn't like Marmite, you'd be
because of the gravy.
Yeah,
probably. You could have the mash with gravy. Yeah. And you get the beefy thing going on there.
Yeah. It really does add amazing flavour, though. If you're cooking, I mean, as a chef, I used to do it and put Marmite in all my spaghettis all the time, because it really adds some flavour that you don't get. And it's a really cheap way of adding, you know, a bit of stock, you know.
Yeah.
And even for the dogs, you know, we'll put some Marmite with a bit of hot water and add that to their bowl, and they will definitely eat it every single time. Bovril Marmite or Vegemite, anything. A little tiny teaspoon with some milk, with some hot water, sorry, and then mix that in with their food. Ooh, they love it.
Nice. Yeah. I've never thought of that. Yeah. So you add it to things that you're cooking then?
Yeah, most definitely.
There we are, you see. There's a piece here which was an interesting one to discuss, talking about pronouns. This is the whole she, her, hers, they, him, all of this. A bank has infuriated customers by telling them they can close their accounts if they don't like seeing gender pronouns on staff name badges. Halifax is the latest major firm to encourage employees to show their preferred forms of address to guard against accidental misgendering. It posted a photo online of a branch assistant's uniform badge with the words she, her, hers below the name Gemma. Pronouns matter, announced the bank's Twitter account, adding it's a people thing. So do we think this is going a bit mad, or does it make perfect sense in today's times?
Well, it's all going a bit mad, I think.
Yeah, it's gone crazy now. Yeah, that's a little bit too far.
Oh, I think it's okay.
I did notice, I was watching Wimbledon, and they used to say Miss Williams, and now they just say Serena Williams. They don't say Mr. and Miss.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's ridiculous. Unless they've changed, why change how you address them? I don't understand that at all.
To be correct.
So you're saying, why, Catherine, what are your reasons behind thinking
it? Gemma, if you're, you know, you should really know that is a female name, but if you don't, or if it makes the person feel better about having their pronouns, then I don't see the harm in it, and I don't see why you need to be offended by it. It might seem over the top from one side for other people, because it's just obvious, you know, or if you're called Mike, you're a guy, or but whatever. But if you, I don't
but
really
I,
see
but
the
I don't
harm
see
in
but why
I
think you would the idea need to
is,
use it.
Well, I think the idea is that it's not obvious. I think the point is, you could get someone called Gemma who wants to be referred to as he, him.
Okay.
I think that's the point. I agree that it seems obvious in this instance when it's Gemma and she wants to be referred to as she, her, but there could be someone called Gemma that wants to be a they or yeah. wants to be referred to as he. So you can't just go by the name and think that's a girl's name, that's a boy's name.
I think that's the point, he, she, but they with one person. How can you be more than one person?
I think corporate-wide
for an organisation, we're talking about one person in a few. You know, we're not talking about, you know, if it was 80% of the workforce were all wanting to be called they, she, he, it, you know, Furby, whatever, then okay, maybe you need to look at policy. But if it's one or two, you just say, I'm sorry if I offended you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, really, it's about how you communicate and how you talk to another person.
Yeah.
If you're worried and you're not quite sure because you look at them and you think, is that a male or a woman? Maybe just not say. Maybe just ask them and talk to them without addressing them in a she, he, it fashion.
Yeah.
You know, to try and avoid that awkwardness.
I'm trying to work, you know, if you're speaking to someone in the bank, you're dealing with them directly. I don't understand how you would say she.
Could you do this?
You'd be saying, okay, I want to open an account. I want to do this. I want to get some money out. I want to transfer this. Thank you very much for your assist. You know, why would you be using the word she at any point?
Relevance is it whether they are a she or a he when they're sat in front of you trying to open your bank account?
Exactly.
I don't mind.
No, I'm a bit confused about that. I feel like it's kind of, you know, trying to make a point of being really, really inclusive on something that's quite unnecessary, I think. Like this one. Poems, poetry. Do you remember doing poetry at school, studying poetry? Yeah. Nadeem Zahawi yesterday accused an exam board of cultural vandalism after it removed Philip Larkin and Wilfred Owen poems to boost diversity. OCR, one of the main examining bodies, has removed the two English poets from its GCSE poetry anthology in a bid to boost poets of colour and disabled and LGBTQ plus voices. Northern Irish poet Seamus Heaney will also be dropped, as will works by Thomas Hardy and John Keats. Writers added to the English literature poetry syllabus include British Jamaican poet Raymond Antrobus and Ilya Kaminsky, a Ukrainian American who is deaf. Go on, someone else start before I start having a rant.
That's nice.
It's just like removing history and everything. These things did take place, and maybe they're not current, but poetry is. Well, that was like the old-fashioned kind of poetry.
I don't know how you can replace one with the other. You know, if you're going to want to introduce more modern writers and more diverse writers, yeah, that's great. But you can't erase the ones from the. I mean, Wilfred Owen is one of the most famous poets writing about World War One. You can't compare him with a modern Ukrainian American deaf poet who I assume isn't writing about World War One. So how can you get rid of that one? Do you know, you can't compare the two. They're both adding something to, or both have added something to society and history and whatever. So include the new ones without erasing all the old ones.
Or maybe they should make a new subject, like modern poetry.
Modern poetry, yeah. Exactly.
Post-war poetry and...
Exactly. Cream.
But exactly. As you say, you can't replace them, no.
Not at all. Okay, let's take an ad break before we move on to retail therapy.
TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Catherine Holmes, Catherine Taken and Eleanor Schumann. If you want to get involved, you are welcome to.
Please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
What a beautiful day. It's a wonderful life. So there's an article here about retail therapy. The headline says, the first part of the article says, go on, treat yourself. How often do we say that to ourselves when we're feeling a bit down or dreary? The idea that we can boost our mood or reward ourselves when we're having a difficult time by buying things is, of course, a fallacy. I disagree.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Disagree.
Full house.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. So it works for you then. If you're feeling a bit low and you go shopping, you feel better.
Yeah, definitely.
Always better to get something new and if it's clothes or ornament or anything.
Yeah, I agree. So it really does.
My mum used to say to us, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. And she would take us and we would buy something, you know, if we'd had a bad exam result or, you know, something that really upset us, a breakup or a boyfriend.
Yeah.
We'd be off straight down, go and have a look for some nice underwear or something.
And it worked.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's the risk is always when you don't have the money to go shopping or it becomes an addiction. So that's where it's like
spending more than you can afford.
So when you're buying it on your credit cards and stuff and you can't afford to pay it back, then that becomes that online shopping addiction, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
It's probably only a temporary fix as well. It's not really, I was going to sort my life out by going to buy a new dress. That's not going to work.
No, that's true.
You know, it's a mood booster. Definitely works.
Yeah. Yes, that was very, very well put. Exactly. It was hard to concentrate on the article because there was a lovely photograph of Brad Pitt next to it. Well done, Eleanor, for actually reading the words. I was just focused on the picture. But apparently, Brad Pitt believes he's on the last leg of his acting career at the grand old age of 58. In an interview with GQ magazine, he spoke about nearing retirement after more than 30 years on our screens. No, everything about that is wrong.
No.
Yes, he can keep going.
Yeah, definitely.
Character actor, isn't he? So
he's a great actor. Yeah, I think he's a great actor. I think he's quite sort of underrated in a way, as if it's all about his looks. But I think he's a brilliant actor. He's been in some great films. And he's certainly not old at 58, is he?
No, of course not.
Definitely not. We like Brad. We also like freckles, but not so much that I'd get them tattooed to my face. This is the new craze, apparently. Freckles have gone from being something to hide to a mark of fresh-faced youthfulness. I love freckles. I think they're lovely. And I remember when Meghan got married, Meghan and Harry, close up of her, you could see all her freckles, and she actually hates it when photographers kind of airbrush them out and believes that they should be there and natural.
I think it's quite a youthful look.
Yeah.
Freckles. I think, do they disappear as you get older?
I don't know.
They disappear in winter. They come out in the summer and disappear in winter.
Really?
Yeah, because it's melanin, I think. So that's what creates them coming out. They're really cute. Izzy's got some.
I think they're really cute. I love them. But I think it's a real shame if girls want to kind of cover them up or embarrassed by them or don't like them.
But I think what they're saying is that they're getting them tattooed to try and encourage them. Now, that's okay short term, but if the fad then changes and, you know, everyone takes, you know, bullies people with freckles, or, you know, you're seen to be having some kind of disease, you'd be like, oh dear, I'd better put the foundation on. So I don't know.
But it used to be people would cover up their moles, and then all of a sudden the mole would be a beauty spot.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's sort of like a bit of a fad really.
Yeah. I don't think you should get a tattoo for a fad. The whole point is about a tattoo.
That would be quite difficult to get removed as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Change your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Tattoos are permanent.
Makeup,
so
you can just use an eye pencil.
Yeah. You could use an eye pencil for freckles. Yeah, definitely. I think these the pictures in the article, I think these the three examples that they've given, I think they look fake.
They all look
them.
Fake.
They do, don't they?
They probably are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if you've got them, embrace them, but if you haven't, don't get them tattooed on. That would be my advice. Okay, so we're talking about going topless now, wearing a bikini and taking your bikini top off. The lady who wrote the article, Samantha Brick, I've interviewed her many times. She's hilarious. And she said she was on holiday with her husband, went onto the balcony and decided to do some sunbathing. So she was wearing her bikini. She took her bikini top off and then she saw looks of immense disapproval from various women on other balconies, being really shocked that she was taking her top off, and she sort of felt a bit uncomfortable and thought, well, should I not be doing this then? Got her thinking about British women particularly being a bit more prudish, and she lives in France, her husband is French, and it's much more normal for women to go topless there. How do we feel about being topless? Is it something you used to do, or is it something you've never done and would never do?
I love going topless if I can, but if my daughter's around, she'll cover me up. So she's not approving. So it's I think it's just, you know, where you are and how you are. For me, I try to keep myself fairly private if I am going to be topless. So I'm not strutting myself along the beach.
So
topless.
You wouldn't go on the beach, okay?
Well, but on the beach, but lying down, because I'm there to sunbathe.
Yes, I agree. You do get the topless people that are wandering around, like, look at me, look at me. But if you're just lying down because you want to get a nice tan without any strap marks. Yeah. I think it's okay. But yes, no, don't parade around.
I've never, and I would never, but that's just my personal choice. I have no problem with it. If other people want to, that's up to them. So I just kind of, if you want to, fine. If you don't, fine.
I always used to, when I was in my 20s and stuff, always, and even 30s a bit, but I haven't done for years now.
I tried doing the nudist beach thing once.
Yes, I tried that as well. Oh, I don't like it.
No.
I tried it in Greece, not in Spain.
Why didn't you like it?
Well, I kind of missed the whole thing, really, because I lay there naked and I was thinking, okay, I'm doing really well, quite self-conscious. Then I get up to put my bikini bottoms on and go in the water, and the guy who's in the water says to me, you haven't really got the whole grasp of this, have you? And I was like, why? And he said, well, you put your bikini bottom to come into the water. The whole thing about being on nudist beach is it meant to be nude. I said, okay, I'll work at that next time. And then subsequently ran out and ran away.
And that was never a next time.
No.
My friend and I in Greece, I would have been 19, something like that. And we went to the nudist beach and we like plucked up courage. We were like, okay, we can do this. We took like a windbreak thing that went between us so we didn't look at each other either and just laid there and put the windbreak between us. And we were like, you okay, Hobie? Yeah, I'm okay. And we were laying there, similar to you, like feeling really self-conscious about the whole thing. And this man walked along and started having a conversation with us, and we didn't like it. We didn't like straight away. We were like, if we're going to talk, we felt we needed to put clothes on. It was very weird.
But have you ever been to Cabapino Beach?
Yes, by accident.
me too. But why is it that all the men always like washing themselves in the shower, and you don't normally see that? But there, when they're totally naked, they're always having a good old
Is it a bit about exhibitionism?
Possibly.
I think
there's a little bit
about freedom of being able to express yourself again. I suppose.
But it's a shame about the kind of prudish thing that she talks about, and also the kind of feeling comfortable, because as I said, I used to do it and I didn't care. Now I'd be self-conscious,
and
it's a shame that can change.
Yeah, it's a real shame, because we should embrace our bodies, isn't it? And we should be able to look at ourselves naked without feelings of shame or like, you know, your ugly bits and this, that and the other. It's like, wow, you're an amazing human being. You're an amazing, beautiful woman.
And it shouldn't be that the only people that should go topless are people who have seemingly, you know, perfect figures and whatever. It shouldn't be like that. It should be about wanting to get an all-over tan, feeling comfortable in your own skin and not really caring about what anybody thinks. And I think a lot of us don't feel like that, which is a shame, isn't it?
The Spanish beaches, they seem to have lots of newly topless people walking around. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe it's different countries. They really don't. I mean, they're just like families, and they're not worried at all. And, you know, it's like maybe we need to take a leaf out of their book to just free ourselves of our restricted inhibitions and get your boobs out.
Yeah, let's do it.
After you.
Since we've got the windbreaks to separate us all. So, wolf whistling. There was an article the other day saying that builders who are typically associated with wolf whistling at women walking past don't tend to do it so much anymore. And Amanda Holden has come out and says, I know it might be seen as a sexist gesture by some, but she actually loves getting wolf whistles from builders. She said she enjoys being tooted at and receiving comments about her appearance and doesn't care if it's sexist. She says, I still want to get wolf whistles in my 70s and I don't care how sexist that is. I want a builder to give me a little oi oi when I walk past. I want to be tooted at by men or women when I'm walking the dog.
I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah, such a good boost to your confidence.
It is, isn't
it? Makes
it?
You feel amazing.
Yeah.
I always give a wave back.
Yes. Yeah,
and then realise it wasn't me.
Then you realise there's a 20-year-old a few feet behind you. Like, oh, damn
thinking,
it.
Yeah, look at me. Oh, no. Oops.
Oh, no. Yeah. Do you think it's sexist?
It is sexist, but I don't mind either.
No.
Yeah. And you think, oh, why is no one whistling at me now?
Yeah.
So when, like, it doesn't, when it stops, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think the Spanish do that.
No, not much.
You ever been wolf whistled by a Spanish builder?
No.
It used to happen before I learnt to drive, and I did a lot more walking. Walking along the N340, along there, a big lorry would do a hoot, and normally I would jump out of my skin. Really, it's like when you're not expecting, and it's such a loud noise. Yeah. It's different to little meep meep on the street. It's like, oh, it's like a proper horn. And I remember a few times jumping out of my skin and finding that not funny at all, because I should laugh at myself, really. But you just know that they'll be laughing while you're like,
oh. Well, it probably gives them like enjoyment, like the boredom, like the monotony. Yes. It's just like, oh yeah, there's someone. Because I remember when I used to drive a van, and like the young guys with me were going, go on, you've got to bib them. And I'd like to bib, and he was going, no, you're supposed to bib the guys, not the girls. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, women don't do it. It would be, I feel like it would be seen to be quite wrong if women did it, and it shouldn't make a difference, should it?
Not really, no.
No. Maybe women should do more beeping. I'm not encouraging, I'm just suggesting. There's a piece here about food, talking about the bills of everything going up at the moment, and there's lots of tricks here to save a bit of money. There's some interesting ones. One of them is eat meat but less of it. Fresh poultry and meat can push up supermarket bills, but rather than buying lower quality options or cutting it completely, try consuming a little less. Good advice.
Do we
eat less meat than we did maybe a year or so ago?
Yeah, very much so. I do. But if I do eat it, I make sure it's really good quality.
Okay. You know,
and then really enjoy the savour the flavour, rather than just going for cheaper options that are full of stuff that I don't want to put in my body.
Yeah. The price difference is quite dramatic, isn't it?
Yes.
Buying organic meat and things. We've done it a few times because we don't eat a lot of meat at home. And the difference can be like twice, even three times the price sometimes, depending on where you get it from.
But you can be really, really clever. Like for a lasagna or anything with mince, you can reduce the mince that you put in by half and add red lentils, and you wouldn't notice. The kids do not notice either.
I haven't had mince in years.
Yeah.
Because
if you're feeding a family and you've got to make it spread, that's a fabulous way of making, you know, there are loads of tips like that.
Yeah.
Really are.
I love lentils instead of mince, and I also really like vegan mince.
Yeah.
So I haven't had meat mince in years. Never get any gristle with vegan mince. There you go. Do you eat less meat?
Probably, yes. I think since my boys have like moved home, because they liked red meat,
okay,
I rarely eat red meat now. I might have a hamburger if I go out, but not so much. No, chicken, fish, that sort of thing.
I eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
Red meat, less, much less, probably. And pork, but it's just fatty, so stick to chicken. I eat a lot of chicken or veg and both.
Yeah. Another one here, which is an interesting one, and I wonder whether, because some people can be quite obsessive about brands. It says here, be less brand loyal. Apparently, big brands pay extra for eye-level positioning on shelves, so it's better to be shrewd and weigh up all the options. In almost all cases, supermarket-owned brands come in at a much lower price, and in many taste tests, consumers can't tell the difference. Now, I know people who swear blind that, I don't want to say start naming loads of brands, but various brands for sauces or fizzy drinks or whatever, swear by a particular brand and think that all other brands like don't come up to it and that they would notice the difference. Are there any brands that you are completely loyal to and would never have an alternative? You can say them, it's fine.
Heinz ketchup. I've tried other ketchups, but none of them come close.
Yeah. I agree, actually. That's one of ours, definitely.
Diet Coke.
Okay.
I'd never buy own brands.
Any other?
No.
But
other things I would, like chopped tomatoes or...
Yeah.
Beans.
Cereals. I do like supermarkets' own cereals.
Oh, yeah.
They're always very similar.
Much cheaper.
Yeah, much cheaper.
Yeah, loads cheaper, aren't they, actually?
But I would make my own. So like granolas and things like that, they're so they're so much better for you if you make them at home yourself, and really, really simple to make. I think that's what we need to do, is we need to get back into the kitchen and start bringing back some of the techniques that they used to use in the olden days. Like, I mean, even, you know, you have a roast dinner and you've got your chicken carcass, put that all in a pot with the onion and chuck in a few extra carrots and bits and bobs and make your chicken stock. Rather than buying a carton of chicken stock, it literally is flavoured water. Chuck in your Marmite and then you've got your stock. And ruin it, No, and then you've got your stock. There are amazing money-saving things that you can do. So I think it's just about, you know, you don't have to be buying all the processed. Like making your own hummus. A tin of chickpeas mixed in with a tiny bit of tahini, lemon and garlic and olive oil, and you're done. And it's that much healthier for you.
Yeah.
And you get a lot more.
Yeah, because so many things that we buy have got preservatives and things in it, so they last longer. So if you make it yourself, it's got to be eaten quicker, but of course it's better for you.
Well, it's the hidden sugars.
Yeah.
So everything that's processed has got hidden sugars. So that is, you know, what the cancers feed off. That's what all the, you know, all the illnesses and diseases feed off. They love the sugar. So, you know, if you can do it yourself and know that you're not adding sugar, then you know that you're providing your family with the best food and yourself with the best food you can.
Do you set aside a lot of time to do this? Because a lot of people go, oh, I haven't got time to be making all of this.
I am the speediest food producer there is. So if it's not quick, I don't do it.
Okay.
So it has to be quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So like whizzing up a hummus, it's like a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so there are things that I'll do. I won't be, you know, making some other dishes that take ages. No. So it's got to be to the table in 20 minutes, really.
Yeah. Fair enough. And is it all easy to find these things online? It is, isn't it? Really easy.
Yeah.
For recipes, for things, if you want to try and make.
But also, if you want to find out, you know, cheap saving ways of cooking and buying from the supermarket, you can go online and look on YouTube. You can find all these tips. They're all there. And also in every supermarket, or nearly, especially in the UK, they always have a discount aisle. Go to that at the end of the day. Go and pick all your stuff up slightly discounted and be clever about your shopping. And if you prepare all your recipes, all your meals for the week ahead, you will save yourself a fortune when you go shopping.
Yeah, I've never got into that. Have you ever done that?
No.
Always.
No. Occasionally, you know, you go through a phase and think, oh, I'm going to be really good, I'm going to prepare everything, and then it lasts a week and then you think, oh,
not going to do that again. Do you do it a lot then, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm trying to do it all the time now, because it helps with budgeting.
Yeah
I have to look you have to look at the money now, because
I do save a lot of food. I'll maybe do cook a large portion and then freeze the rest. Do a lot of that, a lot of freezing. And then that's nice, and you think, oh, what can I have tonight? I haven't got time. And it's all ready out, and it's all good, and it's all perfect.
That's good. Waste not, want not. There were some good ideas here that I'd never thought of. Strawberry tops. So when you cut the top of the strawberry, so it's got the leaves at the top and possibly a little bit of red of the strawberry as well, instead of chucking them away straight away, add them to a large jug of water with a handful of mint, a few slices of cucumber perhaps, then leave it for a few hours before adding ice to serve. Wonderful summer drink. Like that. I've never thought of that with the strawberry tops. Another one is adding the tomato vines to the pan when making a sauce, as the vines hold an intense tomato flavour. Never thought of that. Cooking with the vines.
That's brilliant.
That's the same as tip, isn't it?
Using the whole of the lemon. If you use the outer skin of the lemon, grate that and squeeze all of the juice of the lemon into a jug, then put your water in and anything else you want to add, let it infuse for an hour or two, and you've got and then sieve it, and then you've got a really, really tasty, strong lemon drink. But use the whole of it, and it's really anti-cancer. The skin of the lemon is super anti-cancer.
Oh, lovely. So I'm going to try fresh. That sounds good. We better take a break. I've been forgetting about those.
TRE, your voice in Spain.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Catherine Holmes, Catherine Taken and Eleanor Schumann. If you want to get involved, you can.
Please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. What a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day.
love.
Okay, there's an article here saying that Pope Francis has urged mothers to stop ironing their son's shirts and encourage them to get married, presumably so the wife can iron their shirt. That's how I read it, and I thought, well, that doesn't help, does it? Also told adult men not to take the easy road and return to their mothers in moments of difficulty. So I just thought the subject of ironing shirts, or ironing in general, was an interesting one, because I don't iron ever anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
How?
Wow. I don't either.
No?
Oh, in lockdown, I ironed because I was so bored. I was like, yeah, I'm going to iron my sheets and anything I could iron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but now it's like, it's good folding, isn't it? You've got to make sure you hang it up to dry, like nice and straight, and then fold everything neatly. So not a lot of stuff. This probably needed ironing. It's like, can I get away with it? But
yeah, I don't iron. When I'm hanging up the clothes on the clothes horse to dry, I always make sure that the seams are at either side, and make sure if there's anything kind of like sleeves, if they're folded over, to make sure they're unfolded, or the bottom of trousers if they folded up, to make sure they're unfolded so everything's flat. And then my husband irons his shirts.
I was going to say, you can't. The shirts.
No, shirts. He irons his own shirts, but good other lad. Than that, nothing.
Yeah, my son
ironing.
Came to stay a few weeks ago, and he was going out, and he ironed his own shirt.
Oh, good.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's very good. He didn't expect you to do it.
No.
Good. So do you iron a lot, then?
Oh, yeah. I hate it. Well, my mother-in-law thankfully helps me. Thank you, Di. But yeah, I just have mountains and mountains of ironing all the time. Because my husband has work shirts, and then the kids' school shirts, polos, and then T-shirts. And I mean, I hang it out, like you say, but they still need an iron.
But you can buy those shirts, because when my boys were at school, you can buy like 50-50 shirts, and they're no iron shirts. They're from Marks and Spencer's.
Mm.
So
good tip. So is it mainly the men's stuff that you're ironing?
It's mainly the men's stuff, but then, I don't know, like my T-shirts and dresses. Yeah, no, I couldn't not iron.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I iron everything.
Really?
Even sheets. I love. There's nothing better.
All this time I've got on my hands not ironing.
There's nothing better than getting into bed in freshly ironed sheets. It is just a luxury. It's like looking after and nurturing yourself, and I just love that feeling.
I think we're lucky in Spain that we can hang out our sheets, whereas if you put them in a tumble dryer, then they're all crinkled and they would need to be ironed. But here I think you hang them up all folded nicely, and then you fold them and you put them on the bed, and they're okay.
Nice.
Working on the boats many years ago, when I used to work on boats, I used to iron everything, including the underpants for the guests.
Oh, really?
Everything. Yeah, and it had to be precision. Absolutely.
Wow. Do you iron the money as well?
So do you think you're used to ironing because of that? Did it come from there, do
absolutely.
You think?
Absolutely. Yeah, the attention to detail. Absolutely. It comes from there, because you have to. Everything had to be cleaned with a Q-tip to perfection. So when you're used to that, that sort of is in your system. Yeah. You get trained to be like that. It's like if you're in the military.
Yeah.
You know, you get trained to look after your clothes and how your appearance is and all of that. And it's all about how you present yourself.
So even though you like things being ironed, do you enjoy the ironing process?
No.
Oh.
You just
not particularly. You just know it's nice when it's done, so you just have to do it.
Yeah. Watch something on television.
Yeah. Try and set the
get your quiet time. You know, a bit mindless. Watch something that you haven't had a chance to do.
It's an
opportunity to stop.
Yeah, people always talk about piles of ironing they need to get through, and I'm like, well, I don't ever. There's never a pile of ironing in our house.
I've got two at home just waiting for me. Piles.
Really?
Yeah. Lovely.
Oh, I almost feel like I want to help.
I do have an ironing board.
Just to see what it's like. You don't have an ironing board?
No, I do have an ironing board.
Okay, I was going to say. Oh, we have an ironing board. But yeah, no, I have to say, it's actually always the other way in our house. I don't iron anything. And if every so often, like a couple of times a year, I'll wear something, a dress that needs an iron, my husband does it for me. Because he's so much more used to ironing than me. I've not forget how to do it, but I end up like water going everywhere, or like stuff comes out the end, and I'm like, oh, and he's like, let me do it.
I wonder if you're less stressed because of it, because you don't see it, that it needs to be done. It doesn't matter. It's not it's not something that upsets you. You don't have that stress of thinking, I've got another job to do.
No.
Which is like when you look at your piles of ironing, that creates actually a little bit of anxiety and a bit of stress in you, thinking, oh my God, I've got that to do, as well as doing the kids and sorting this out and doing this, that and the other. So if that pile wasn't there, because you never bothered doing it, because really, does it matter? But the thing is, for me, it does matter. As a person, it does matter.
Yeah, no,
so it's really interesting. I wonder whether, you know, I might reduce my stress levels if I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
I might give it a try.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, it's when what you're saying, Catherine, about the your husband's work shirts and the kids' shirts for school, like, they need to be ironed. Like, I get it. There are things that need to be ironed. He irons his work shirts because they need to be ironed. But we don't iron anything else. I mean, he might, maybe when, he might iron the odd pair of trousers if they need it. But most of the stuff we don't, and I don't think we go around looking really crystal. Maybe everyone's like, yeah, we've noticed, Hannah, but no one's ever said. I don't know. But yeah, I have to do the washing because I have to hang it up how I like it hung up. Every so often, if he'll do it, I'll like follow behind him and redo it to make sure it's hung out properly so the seams are at the side, and it doesn't need to be ironed.
More efficient hanging, I reckon.
Yeah, all about efficient hanging. Definitely.
Give it a go.
It's the way forward. Well, there's a piece here which is an interesting one. The liberal elite's no-holds-barred attitude to sex is a danger to children. This was a programme which I never saw called Cuties. And I just think the picture is alarming of these young girls. How old would you say they are? 8, 9, 10
Yeah,
that kind of age. And they're wearing, very kind of sexual poses. They've got what looks like to be kind of, leathery, plasticky, black little pants and little bra tops. And that freaks me out looking at that picture, to be honest. And it was a Netflix show called Cuties. The protagonist, it says here, 11-year-old Amy, living in a poor district of Paris. She finds herself in the orbit of a group of girls who call themselves the Cuties. They're like twerking, gyrating in skimpy outfits, pouting.
So it's fiction.
It's fiction, but it's just all wrong, isn't
it? But it's sexualising children at such a young age, and for me that's just an absolute no-no. We've got to protect our children for as long as possible. They're only young for one, you know, for such a short period of time, and, you know, it just leads to more perverseness, and I just think it's
okay if they're doing it themselves. You know, they put mummy's shoes on and maybe a bit of lipstick, and they're walking around in big shoes, but that's they're like little people, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just like little adults.
It's just so wrong, and it's just kind of making it look normal, you know, that the kids are it's just dancing, you know, but it's what they're wearing and the way that they're dancing that it's just a horrible kind of image, isn't it? Really wrong. I was thinking, I did an interview the other day with this guy who'd written a biography on Adele, and I was saying how it was really sort of nice and refreshing that Adele has done so well as a female singer, and it hasn't at all been about her body and her outfits, and she's not a sex symbol, and it's just been about her voice and the music, and that's so rare. So rare. You know, most singers, female singers, are wearing sexy outfits and gyrating to the camera and things like that, and they may have good voices as well, but so much of it is about image. And I just think if they're starting with kind of programs like this, girls are going to be more obsessed about image and their bodies and seeing their bodies in a kind of sexual way from a much younger age, which is just frightening.
I agree 100%.
Okay, no one got anything else to say on that. Okay, we'll move on. This is a similar subject, in fairness, which again just kind of goes on from the last one. Thousands of girls aged 13 and under are being put under pressure by classmates to send nude pictures or videos. This is according to a survey. The poll of 5,000 teenagers found more than half of those aged between 14 and 18 have been sent a nude image. A third of girls said they'd first been asked to send send a naked picture when they were age 13 or younger. A quarter of boys who had sent a nude photo said they first did so before they were 14. Now, the thing to remember is when we were young, and when I'm sure a lot of people listening were young, this wasn't possible. So it's not like we never did this when we were young. It was because we couldn't. We didn't have access to phones and computers, so it just wasn't possible. So it's kind of hard to get into the mindset of kids, and just kind of, I think it's unfair, to be honest, to say, well, we never did that when we were young. That's because it just wasn't a thing. It is a thing now, and again, it's scary, it's frightening that it's happening at such a young age.
I think it comes down to, again, the family home, the family unit, knowing what your children are doing, making sure you're communicating with them, make sure that you as a parent are up on what's going on and what potentially can go on, making sure that you explain very clearly to your children that if this happens, what you should do about it. And I think, you know, it's time for us to just not turn a blind eye to it. It is not okay. It really isn't okay. It encourages all sorts of misdemeanors and in paedophilia and everything like this. And we just got to stop this. And it stops with the family, and it stops with pulling it in and getting your morals and your values straight. And I think when you can do that, you really can take control of these situations. And it needs to be, I really do think it needs to be stopped. I mean, it's just horrific. I find it horrific.
And needs to be discussed, as you say, having the conversation with your kids, so the kids are able to go to you and say, oh, this has happened, I don't know what to do, I feel a bit uncomfortable about this, I've been asked to do this, or I've been sent this, instead of, you know, never being able to speak to the parents. The kids should be able to go to the parents about any of these things and say, you know, this has happened to me, this has been asked of me, I don't know what to do.
I was really horrified because the other day I was expecting a message from somebody, and they were buying something from the house because I'm trying to clear all my possessions in the house, and so I was expecting a call via messenger, and when I clicked on the call, it was a bloke naked playing with himself.
No!
I squealed because I was in so much shock, thinking I was meant to be speaking to somebody.
Yeah.
And I got this visual, and I was like, I wasn't expecting that, and
oh,
I was just like,
goodness.
What do I do with this? And I was like trying to delete.
Oh,
and
I was that's awful.
That's the first time I have ever experienced that. But somebody
and it
took
was a stranger.
A total
just...
stranger found me and obviously seen a picture or whatever, and then just called me a video call. And that's what the first thing I was seeing was him playing with his genitalia. I was honestly shocked.
And you were trying to sell a vase or something.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that is awful.
Yeah,
that
it was a
really
real shock.
Awful. Yeah.
I obviously blocked it and reported it. But, you know, how often is that going on? What age group is that going to?
Yeah.
If that had been Izzy playing on my phone, and I said, oh, just answer it, darling, like I do, because she's a very efficient secretary, you know, when I'm driving, she's secretary. So, you know, I could say, oh, just answer it, love.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
You know, that's not okay.
No.
It's like I draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conversations with kids about these things. How and when does it happen?
I'm a tiny bit too young at the minute, 8 and 5, so I'm approaching it. But
I suppose once you're able to give them their own phones and then it's their own little private world, isn't it, that you've got to, like,
make sure they know.
In on and maybe look at their phone and see what's going on. And you can put parental
there's loads of blocks.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we better take the last ad break.
Talk Radio Europe.
TRE. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today. Catherine Holmes, Catherine Takon and Eleanor Schumann. There's an article here. We've only got like 3 minutes, which is difficult to do such a serious subject in 3 minutes, but we'll give it a go. Anguish of a young man who had his sex organs removed on the NHS, then regretted it the same day. Now he's suing the health service over his gender reassignment op. Now, this kind of goes back to the whole thing of how these serious things and gender realignment surgery cannot be taken lightly. And there should be loads, like a massive kind of interview process and things like that before something like this is done. And surely this is proof of that.
Absolutely.
Well, do we know how long he was, like, getting treatment or having some mental...
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. No, it just says this is the first case that this has happened. That it's become such a serious.
And how old is this particular person?
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
Doesn't
either.
Say. No.
It's in his 20s, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
in his 20s. Okay.
28.
So
28.
23.
Yeah. So it's not an age issue. It's just the fact that I assume that he didn't go through loads of kind of questioning and whatever, you know, and therapy, you know,
counseling
and all this kind of stuff beforehand. Because for him to regret it on the same day, we're not talking about like a week later, a month later. He just literally woke up and thought, "What have I done?"
But even so, sometimes you don't know how you're going to feel afterwards. You know, it's like, "Oh, maybe I'll dye my hair brown," and then you go, "I hate it."
Yeah.
So it could be something like that. Yeah, I've looked at loads of pictures, and he's probably like, "Oh,
actually, no.
I have to sit down to go to the toilet now."
Yes. But it's ridiculous. I mean,
I
totally get your point, but it's so much more than dyeing your hair, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can just dye your hair back, but this, he can't just like.
He could have taped it up.
It's, yeah.
See how he went with that.
It's just such a big, big decision, isn't it? That you need to. Massively,
what the NHS said about it. Is it going ahead now, the case, or?
Yeah, and they've said that he could win.
Wow.
Yeah, the NHS haven't said that. A woman from the founder of Transgender Trend, a group advising parents on transgender children and young adults, said it's hoped this will force a rethink by the NHS about this kind of barbaric surgery on patients who are told by medics it will help them.
Oh, right. So they're saying that he was sort of persuaded to do it rather than him saying, "I want to do it."
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a different case then,
isn't it?
Yeah,
that's different, isn't it?
Just need to be so careful with all these influencers. Apparently the increase in people that are saying that they're now transgender or I don't even know how to talk about it really.
Yeah.
But you know, from COVID, they're saying from the lockdown, so many more kids in the boarding school, in the school systems are coming out saying that they're transgender. They said it's been because they've been so influenced on, you know, Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat and stuff. So, oh my God.
It's scary. Scary world we live in. Well, we'll leave it there. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you all for coming in today. Any plans, special plans this weekend?
Yes, I'm doing a one-day retreat tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yes, now, that from 10 till 12. That'll be 10 till 2. Yeah, that'll be lovely.
Fabulous. Eleanor?
I'm going to a wedding in Gibraltar.
Oh, nice. Enjoy. Catherine?
I've got two friends flying over from London tonight.
Oh, fabulous.
With some other friends tomorrow.
Nice one. Well, have a lovely weekend.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.